Am I on, yeah? Thanks so much, guys, for leading us into God's presence this morning. That was amazing. And isn't it good to see those photos of the kids from all the different areas of workshop? Some of them are from church families, some of them aren't. And to have churches coming together, to have youth leaders coming together is great. But to see young people coming together to hear about Jesus, that's just astounding. And to see lives change, that's amazing. Am I getting loads of feedback, or is it just my ears echoing? There's a lot of feedback. Can you tone it down a bit, or do I need to come closer to everybody? How's that? No, that's louder. Well, while we're sorting the sound out, that's not too bad, is it? Can you hear me there? That's good. If you want to be opening John chapter 4. But before we do that, you're not looking at Rocky, and some of you might be wondering why. And the rest of you all know, Rocky and Cheryl had to go back to South Africa. Sadly, Cheryl's dad died, and they had to go back and sort out the funeral. And we have been praying, and please continue to keep them in your prayers. And also, obviously, Judea and Ruel, who are back home and away from their family. And the other thing is that when things like that happen, they're unexpected, and it brings a whole load of expense and costs that you don't anticipate. And so what we want to do as a church is to bless them and cover the cost of the flights. It's a lot to get down to South Africa and back. But if anybody would like to contribute towards that, it's a free will offering. Just put something in an envelope and put it for Rocky and give it to Gillian or Paul. Where's Gillian? Because I can't. She's out the back. So if Paul waves, if you don't know Gillian, there's Paul. Or just pop it in the box outside the door. And we just want to bless them and let them know that, you know, God's got them and holds them as much as he holds each one of us. Okay, let's just pray together. Father God, I just want to thank you that you are a loving Father, that you look at each person in this building this morning and you say, I love you. I love you and I've got a word for you this morning. So I just pray that you would open up our ears, open up our hearts, irrespective of what's gone before today. Just let this moment be a moment with you. Let it be an encounter with you, God, we pray, so that we might be alive and not dead, so that we might walk in the truth of who you are and who we are in you. And Lord, I pray that it would be your word and not mine that are spoken this morning. Amen. 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 Okay, we're going to read. And what I want you to do as we read, I'm thinking we might change the mic. Is this really bad for everyone else? No, it's like I'm inside my own head, but we'll keep going. That's a scary thing. I spend a lot of time there. What I'd like you to do as you read this passage is I'd like you to put yourself in this place. I want you to, if you need to close your eyes to do it, that's fine. But I'd like you to be in the place of this encounter with Jesus that we're going to read about. I'd like you to imagine yourself right there in the environment of it and just see if you see yourself anywhere in this situation or this story. We're just going to look at the encounter of Jesus had been hanging out with John the Baptist. His disciples had been baptizing people and he'd been baptizing people and the Pharisees, the rulers, were getting a bit antsy. He was getting more and more followers and he decided he'd head back and then we're in John chapter 4. He'd head back to Galilee, but on his way he stopped and it's just that area that we want to look at. So now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and he went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did all his sons and even his livestock? Jesus answered, Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, Go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that when Messiah, called Christ, is coming, and when he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, am he. Just then the disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, What do you want? Or why are you talking to her? Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, Come, see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, Could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying? It is still 4 months until the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They're ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and the other reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I've ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed for 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. And they said to the woman, We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. It's a long passage, isn't it? There's a lot in there. But what I want to think about this morning is this idea of having an encounter with Jesus. Having an encounter with Jesus. I don't know about you, but the idea of actually sitting down with Jesus and having a chat with him like that woman had, there's so many things I'd love to talk to Jesus about. She'd no idea who he was. But let's just think about who that woman was. I don't know how much you know about the Samaritans, but basically the Jews and the Samaritans didn't get off. They didn't talk at all. They didn't get on. I mean, they'd avoid each other as much as they could. They were sworn enemies. But in that culture, nobody would talk. Men didn't just talk to women. And you certainly didn't sit and have a chat with a woman from Samaria. And then you look at who she was. This woman was immoral. She'd had five husbands. The bloke she was living with now wasn't her husband. She had had a series of partners in life. And did you catch the time that we were at the well? It was 12 o'clock noon, the hottest time of the day. You don't go fetching your water at noon in that culture. But she did. Do you know why? Because she was embarrassed. She was shamed. She was, the whole town knew her story. They knew her background. They knew what she'd done. And she went there to avoid people at the hottest time of the day because she didn't want to bump into anyone. Just think about your life as you think about this woman, because you might find we've got some parallels. So she'd messed up. She had an emotional load of baggage that nobody would want to have. And she was trying to avoid people because the whole town judged her for her way of life. And then she met Jesus. She had an encounter with Jesus. So, did he judge her? No. That wasn't what he did. Jesus just broke all sorts of cultural norms and all sorts of conventions. He talked to this woman alone, a Samaritan, and he knew what she'd done, but he didn't condemn her for it. Jesus wasn't hung up on the stuff that we judge each other on. Jesus knew her, and he knew what she'd done wrong, but he was there for a different reason. He didn't condone her, but he didn't reject her. An encounter with Jesus. Having an encounter with Jesus is what I want us to think about today. This woman had an amazing encounter with Jesus. You see, instead of judging her, he guides her and offers her life. He offers her living water that will give eternal life. He guides her to be who God created her to be. And then she went off and she called other people. And they came and they had an encounter with Jesus. It was amazing what happened. We're going to look at it a bit more. If I was to say to you, what are you called to be? And what will prompt you to do that? This woman's encounter with Jesus didn't just change her life. It changed the life of her whole town. Like, we've got a whole town. One encounter with Jesus transformed a whole town. Everybody changed. If you were to meet with Jesus today, what would your encounter with him look like? If he were to walk into your everyday life like he walked into her everyday life, what would be the things that you'd like him to talk to you about? Just have a think about what's going on in your life. Picture him sitting down beside you, just on your average day, in your situation, and speaking to you. What would you want him to change? What would you want him to speak to in your life? Because you know what? The truth is, we can have an encounter with Jesus every single day. For her, this was an extraordinary thing. A man talked to her. A Jewish man talked to her. This man ended up being the Messiah. This was life transforming. But we have that opportunity every single day. We can sit down with him any day and talk with him about the life situations that we face. Does that sound appealing to you? It depends where you're at. It kind of does. You know, some of us have been Christians for years. We have a moment in time when we had an encounter with God, and it was great, and it was rich, and we couldn't tell people enough about him, and we were just so overwhelmed because we'd have a messed up life. And we had an encounter with Jesus, and it was good. But actually, the idea of doing it every day isn't our lived reality. When was the last encounter you had with Jesus? I mean, a real encounter with Jesus. But it's available to us every day. What was so life-transforming for this woman who Jesus spoke to? That he knew her? That he knew her history? Or that he gave her something that meant she was free of her old life? She went up to that well carrying the shame and burdens of her entire life. She walked away free from guilt. She walked away knowing that Jesus was interested in her as a person, free of condemnation. And you know what? The situation is, Satan is real, and he wants you to live based on the lives he sows into your life. And he'll even use us to sow those lies. We need to be so careful what our tongues say to each other, how we look at each other, how we relate to each other. We have to be so, so careful. He wants you to believe that your brokenness is irreparable. He wants you to believe that your current situation can't change. They're his lies. The lies that our past mistakes determine who we are. Satan wants you to believe that. And his lies are intended to keep us imprisoned. His lies are intended to keep us in a false reality. And then we think that's our life, and we live it each day in an existence. That is just not what God wants for you. And that's what that woman was doing. She was living in a false reality, looking for love, looking for significance, looking for someone to care for her. And Satan wants us to think that we are destined to exist under the weight of broken relationships and the failures we did in our past. Do you know what? The good news is that's a lie. And you might be sitting here this morning like that woman was as she went to the well, thirsting for something more valuable in life, that life is just dry and you're just, and you need a drink. We dry out, don't we? You need some living water. Can't even speak to God anymore. Haven't had an encounter with him for ages because we're believing Satan's lie. It might sound familiar to some of us this morning. Do you know, it's almost like when you go on in the passage, actually it's the chapter before, it talks about Moses in the desert. Do you remember all the people rebelled against God in the desert and the snakes came into the camp and they bit them? And they were poisoned. And God told Moses, build a snake, brass snake, hold it up, and whoever looks to the snake will be healed. So what Satan's done, it's like we've been bitten. It's like we've got poison in our blood system. The venom is seeping its way around and we're slowly dying. Slowly dying. And that's Satan's lie. And what Jesus is saying, do you know what? Just come to me, because I want to give you a blood transfusion. I've got life for you this morning. I want to purify that poison in your blood and get rid of it. And Jesus refers to that in John. He says, just as Moses was lifted up in the desert, that's what needs to happen. I'll be lifted up. And when you look to me, I'll free you. I'll give you life. I'll give you fullness of life. I'll give you healing. When we meet with Jesus, when we truly encounter him, he introduces us to our true identity. Our true identity. Because if our identity is that false reality that we're living, we're never going to move on. Our encounter is stopped. He doesn't want us to believe those lies about ourselves. So whatever it is you believe about yourself that makes you think where you are is as far as you're going to go, Jesus wants you to know today, that's not it. This is not your reality. He has so much more for you. He doesn't expect you to have all the answers, but he does want you to have an encounter with him. Rather than focusing on our failure and our faults, he wants to turn our focus to faith and fullness in him. He says, believe in me. Believe him. And he invites us to drink of this stuff called living water. Living water. That gives you eternal life. Just thinking about that woman, what was her testimony after Jesus moved on? He hung around with them for a while. He went into the village. He spent a couple of days with them. What was her testimony for the rest of her life? Was she going around saying, one day I met Jesus? It was at the well. 10 years on, was that still her testimony? One day I met Jesus. It was at the well. Or did it change her forever? See, I believe it changed her forever. It transformed who she was. And again, I just want us to think, what is our testimony of our last encounter with Jesus? If each of us stood up here and said, the last time I met Jesus, was it when we gave our life to God? Was it that day when we accepted his free gift of life? Because he's saying to you, please, don't leave it there. I have living water I want you to drink day by day. It gets so much better. That's just a starting point. And I just want us all to be reflecting this morning about an encounter with Jesus. It sounds just like words, but it wasn't words for this woman. It really wasn't. Sadly, some Christians live their Christian experience as if that's all there is. There was just one encounter, one time, one decision. He wants you to know he's got so much more. This woman's chance encounter with Jesus as he passed, it wasn't down to chance at all, because Jesus knew her It wasn't an accident that he stopped there. It wasn't an accident that he didn't go into town with the other disciples. It was intentional. He knew where she was going to be on that day. He knows where you are right now. He knows where you're going to be tomorrow. He knows where you spend every day and every night. And he will bring people into that situation to encounter with you. Jesus placed himself in the middle of that woman's everyday life deliberately, because he deliberately loved her and he deliberately loves you. That God appointment rippled on to other God appointments into the lives of people in the town. God touches us so that we can touch other lives. It's not by accident. And you know what's amazing? She went on to touch the lives of people who she previously avoided. People who she didn't want to see her. They're the people she went to tell about this. And there might be people in your life, there might be relationships that are broken, that you think are irreparable. And Jesus touches a life. And he touches you. And suddenly you see relationships being restored that you never dreamed could be restored. An encounter with Jesus. Let's just read what it said again. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I'd ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed with them 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. And they said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves. And we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." Do you get that? Does the world need saving? Yeah, of course it does. These people spent a couple of days encountering with Jesus. He is the Savior of the world. They knew it. They were in absolutely no doubt. And we sit here going, yeah, he's the Savior. We know, we sing about it. He's the Savior of the world. And her encounter had an encounter with them. That meant they knew they were saved and that Jesus was doing the job of saving the whole world. That's massive. And you think, well, does it relate to me? Because that was a few things. Yes, because he has an encounter for you to be the Savior of Worksop. So people are going to hear your testimony. They're going to hear your story. They're going to hear what Jesus did in your life. And then they're going to hear him and say, he's my Savior. He is the Savior of Worksop. He's actually the Savior of the world. So Worksop, it's easy. And yet some of us think, come on. We can't really reach the whole of Worksop. Well, you can be reached day by day by Jesus, and then he'll put you in situations. And, you know, as I was going through this, just that phrase, we believe he is the Savior of the world, it just seemed to be amplified to me, because I just got this sensation, do you know, God is going to use each person in our family as we speak out the truth of our experience, as we go and say, I've met Jesus. But we have to do that. But when we do, we're going to hear other people stand up and say, I know Jesus, he's my Savior, and he's the Savior of the world. An encounter with Jesus, what a powerful testimony, and what an impact. There was a purpose in this encounter that went well beyond that woman's situation, and way beyond her needs, but it started with Jesus reaching into her situation and her needs. Because that's where he starts with each one of us. He knows your needs. Jesus had a good plan for her life. She'd had a messed up life. Her life couldn't really have been much more messed up. Emotionally, what went on in her heart, she was probably just functioning. When you go through that much heartache, it wears you down. When you have that much broken relationship, it breaks you. And Jesus knew her need, and he knows yours. But he had a plan for her life, and it was a good plan. And he has a good plan for your life. And it's a good plan. And you need to get hold of that. You are not an accident. You're not here this morning by accident. It's a God appointment that you're here. Each and every one of you. Because God has a plan for your life. If she'd not had an encounter with Jesus, her shameful, guilt-filled experience would have just carried on. Just as if Jesus didn't exist. And you know, in the previous chapter, there was another encounter with Jesus. Chapter 3 of John, there's a bloke called Nick went to see Jesus at night. He didn't want other people to see him because he was a Pharisee. His full name is Nicodemus, but I know him as Nick. And he went to chat to Jesus, and he didn't want people to know, but he wanted to know who this Jesus guy was. He wanted to know how he was doing these powerful transformational things in people's lives. And he has this conversation with Jesus, and then Jesus starts making these incredible claims about himself. And we think it's normal. But can you imagine somebody walking in? Has anybody seen the Netflix series, The Messiah? Yeah, this guy appears and just starts doing incredible things. And it was exactly like that. This weird bloke making claims about himself that he was God, that he was the Son of God. Let's read some of it. In John 3:16, verse 17, it says this. Actually, I'm going to go back. I'm going to read a bit more of it. John 3:14-21 says this, and I mentioned it earlier. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world, that includes you, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. That's not what he's about. He's not here to condemn you, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God, God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of the light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. We all know the verse in the middle, don't we? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever, doesn't matter who you are, whoever believes in him will have eternal life. But he didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. He looks at you. He doesn't condemn you. He doesn't judge you. He doesn't say you failed, just like he approached that woman. So if you're thinking it's not for me, if you're thinking I can't approach Jesus, if you're thinking I don't have the right to have an encounter with Jesus, he wants you to know this morning, he's got his arms wide open. He's saying, just come. Come and accept the life I've got for you. If you think your encounters with Jesus are over, he's saying, come and spend some time with me. Anyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so it may be seen plainly what they have done has been done in the sight of God. How tragic would it be to be stumbling through life in the dark, and the light switch just be in your reach, but not bothering to flick it on? To live in the light instead of the darkness is what he offers us. How can you have an encounter with Jesus? It's all well and good, Alistair, standing up on a Sunday morning saying, Jesus has this for you, Jesus has that for you. How do you actually do it? And we need to practice being in his presence. And that needs a deliberate action. That needs us to choose. Because if we're going through life getting annoyed at people, getting fed up with situations, lashing out, having broken relationships, even as Christians, if we're not spending time with him, we're not going to find the living water. We're going to live in the lies. We're going to live in the deception. If we believe the Satan lies that come into our situations, and then live as if they're true, we're going to miss out. But he's saying, I've got living water for you. I've got true meaning. But we have to practice being in his presence. And for some, that doesn't come naturally. For some, it means sitting down with other people, finding somebody else you can talk with, pray with, form a life group with, be alongside. Spend time in his presence. But have an encounter with him as often as you can. Because you'll see the difference in your life. And if you're not seeing that difference in your life, I'd challenge you to say, when was the last time you practiced being in his presence? Because you will see the difference. In fact, he tells us that. Speak to him about your desires. the desires of your heart. Speak to him about the things that you're angry with him about. Speak to him about the situations you just can't see past. Talk to him. But don't avoid him. Because if you avoid him, you'll miss what he's got for you. Allow the Holy Spirit to reveal his plan for your life to you. And the only way that will happen is by spending time in his presence. And you can do that every day if you choose to. You can do it once a month if you choose to. You can do it once a year if you choose to. And you can do it never if you choose to. But imagine a feast, a light switch in arm's reach, just waiting for you to flick it on. Jesus said in John 15, if you read a bit further on in John verse 5, he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. I'm the main plant and you're rooted in me. But if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. It's so obvious. Every time I read that passage, I just think, yeah, it's obvious. We have a tree in our front garden at the moment. And it's lying on the wall. Thankfully, it didn't lie on the car because the storm blew it over. There's not going to be any leaves on that this summer because it's going to be cut up. But if you disconnect something from its source, Rocky was saying it the other week, if you're a branch on a tree and it breaks off in the storm, if a limb comes down in clumber, it's not going to be growing anymore. It's just it's natural. Jesus said, I am the vine. I am the source of life. You are the branches. Remain in me. And you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. He doesn't want us to be apart from him. He wants you to have an encounter with him every day. You know, God has appointments for you every day. I had an appointment the other week, the other Tuesday. I just completely forgot about it. I missed it. It was in my diary. It was an important meeting. I didn't go. But the world kept going. And we can do that with our appointments with God. We can miss them. The world will keep turning. But believe me, he has appointments for you every single day. Let's try and make some of them. Jesus said, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Do you ever get confused about some of the verses in the Bible? What on earth is Jesus talking about? Water? Are we going to have so much water it's coming out our ears? But actually, he tells us. It's great when you read on in the Bible. And that's the other thing. When you read the Bible, you get the answers. Jesus said, a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. He's not looking for church attenders. He's not looking for Jews to go to Jerusalem. He's not looking for Samaritans to go to wherever they went. He's looking for people who know him, who encounter him on a daily basis, who walk with him day by day, and who worship him in spirit and truth. You see, at that time, the Holy Spirit hadn't yet come. But the Holy Spirit is now here. Because he said when he went back to heaven, I'm sending the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 7, on the last day and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. That's John 7:37. He tells us the answer. Rivers of living water will flow through you. Our life will be like a river flowing. The Holy Spirit is God. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in us. Amen. And wants an encounter with us every single day. The Savior of the world is waiting for you. If you haven't yet asked him into your life, if you haven't actually said, Jesus, I want to walk with you. I want you in my life. I want your living water in me. Then he's waiting for you to say, I'm sorry. Forgive me for what I've done. I accept your purification of my poisoned blood. I accept your sacrifice. I accept your life. But he's also waiting for everyone else. He's saying, I want to have encounters with you. I want to reach into your situation. I want to speak into exactly what's going on in your life, because I've got so much more for you. Believe his word. Believe his promises. Believe in him. That's all he asks. That's what he told the woman, those who believe in me. That's what he told Nick, whoever believes in me. Because believing in him changes your attitude and changes your behavior. Spending time with him, encounters with him, changes who you are. So you can walk into life free of guilt, free of shame, free of judgment. Not trying to hide who you are from other people, but being authentic, being real. That's what he offers us this morning. Because he wants to do a work of restoration in each one of us, day by day. And that's for his glory, but for our benefit. Amen. Let's just pray. Father God, the woman you met with, Jesus, as you sat there at the well with her, you knew her. It wasn't by accident that you stopped. It wasn't by accident that you spoke to her. And it's not by accident that any of us are here today. God, I just ask that if you're speaking to anybody through your word, that you would encourage them to act upon it, not just to hear it and go away and forget. I pray that I wouldn't hear it and go away and forget. Lord, we ask for your help to know that you're speaking to us and saying, it's time. It's time to respond. It's time to get back in touch with me. It's time to have an encounter with me. And God, I just look forward to the exciting testimonies as each one of us says, I had an encounter with Jesus. But when I told other people, they had. And God, seeing this town turned on its head for you, to see a town where nobody expected to see change, changed for you. But it starts with each one of us. So Lord, I pray against the lies that Satan has dripped into our heads and hearts. I pray that they will be gone in your name. Amen. And that your truth will replace them. Amen. And I pray that our mouths will be mouthpieces of truth to each other. That we will be your love in action. Amen. That when people meet us, they meet you.
Amen.
And we ask this for your glory. Amen. 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 Thanks.